From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the Lord's Prayer, returning to the theme, Lessons from the Eternity and Immutability of God. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this sermon clip from the Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Armand Tomassian.
You think about how thankful he is here. You think about the note of praise. This is before the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is before that. And he is just bursting with praise. And then you look at us, post life, death, and resurrection and ascension of Christ, and you wonder why. Why at times are we so melancholy? Why? Why should it be? I mean, Zechariah would look at us, and he would say, what is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? I mean, I am looking forward to it, and I am rejoicing in it. You've seen it all come to pass. Why not be filled with joy? What robs you of this? Oh, may the Lord deliver us.
Praise the Lord.
Every believer, the promise of God.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." In these days when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled, "The Case for United Prayer." Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer, free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns returns to the second of two messages bearing the title, Lessons from the Eternity and Immutability of God. Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing five aspects that an awareness of eternity should produce in the lives of believers. It will impress upon our praying the solemnity of eternity, and this awareness of eternity will establish us and our praying on an immovable stability amid all the changes and circumstances of life. Then, focusing upon eternity and the changelessness of our God will settle for us the tendency and the outcome of all history. Fourthly, a consciousness of eternity reminds us of God's past works and encourages us to know that He will bless us in a similar way. The fifth lesson from the eternity and immutability of God teaches us that our earthly prayer and praise will soon give way to the glory of heaven. Now to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
I have sat and listened to the learned and fascinating, but ultimately crazy ramblings of the current guru of the scientific world, England's Stephen Hawking, from his wheelchair and speaking with his voice modulator. A lot of Christians do that and they get so worried. What will it do to the Bible if science succeeds in cloning people? What will it do? Listen carefully. Not a thing. Not a thing. God will still be in His heavens. And He will take even the vilest rebellion against Him. And He will work it into the pattern of His working. And everything will continue to proceed to that mighty climax where for all eternity, from heaven and indeed from hell, there will come a chorus of glory to God. I can pray with confidence. I have no less confidence in God because science has discovered that the universe, as far as they can see, is limitless. Theologians were there before them. Creation is not limitless. It's finite. But space is limitless. I've often quoted to you the words of Samuel Clarke, an old time theologian, way before science had ever gotten near any of these things. He said, infinite duration or time, contradiction in terms, and infinite space are simply attributes of the infinite and eternal God. If God is, there must be infinite space and time. So don't let it worry you. God is. And when everything is moving toward the great climax of praise to His name, we can pray with confidence that we're on the winning side. This is how Paul put it when he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Or as some prefer to translate the verb, which always leads us as a mighty conqueror over our souls, leads us as His trophies of grace. And He makes manifest the savor, the sweet smell of His knowledge by us in every place. We are unto God as a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we're the savor of life unto life, to the other we're the savor of death unto death. But God says, listen, I'm leading you in triumph. Never forget it. and I will through you cause the sweet smell of my knowledge to be spread abroad, and I'll be praised forever through those through whom or who have been saved through you, and I'll be praised forever through those who reject your message. From heaven or from hell, there will be praise to me for all eternity. In many ways, we are in a similar position to the one Abraham was in. You remember, the Lord assured Abraham that his children would become a great nation and they would inherit the land of Canaan. But then he said, for four generations, they're going to be held in bondage in Egypt. And that's exactly what happened. But put yourself among those people. For four long centuries, the promise was there. But all that was happening was Egyptian bondage, pain, suffering, all these things, getting worse all the time. That's as far as man could see. But what was really happening? Everything that happened, from the change of one pharaoh to another, the imposition of one policy in place of another, all those things were taking place in order to get to the final point of God fulfilling his word. That's where we are. And therefore, we can pray with confidence. Tendency of all history. Let me take that one step further. The fourth thing that the text therefore does is it reminds us of God's past work. That's history. It reminds us of what God has done among his people, and on that basis it encourages us to pray that he will bless us in a similar way. What's the name of Jehovah? I am. Not I was. That's blasphemy. I am. I am that I am. We were reading this morning in Psalm 105, and you could read in many verses of Scripture to this effect. You'll see what God has done. He has done great things. We have to say with the people of God in Psalm 126 and verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. Spurgeon preached in the great revival year of 1859 a sermon from Psalm 44 verse 1. One of his greatest ever sermons. The story of God's mighty acts. It's a fascinating sermon. And I've read it many times with great edification. The story of God's mighty acts. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. God has done great things for his people. And here's the truth. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory forever. What was true is true and will continue to be true. He hasn't changed. He's not lost his authority. He has not lost his ability. He still is doing his will among the nations of men. In his sovereignty, God is able to bless us, and he's able to revive us. Now, keep that in your mind when you come to pray. One of the things that God's people should do when they pray is remember the past. Our problem when we come to pray is that we're so locked into the present. We can't look up to see the greatness of God. We can't look back to see the doings of God. We're so locked up in our little moment of crisis or of trouble. But remember, that's all it is. It's just a moment of crisis or trouble. And I'm not diminishing the reality of the trouble that very often faces us. But what the Scripture is telling us is, don't isolate it either from God or from what God has done. This is just one point in time. Look back. Have Christians been in trouble before? Have God's people ever had to face the kind of pressures we have to face today? Surely they have. And what has the Lord done? Let us go back to the Word of God. Fill our hearts, fill our minds with what God has done. Again, you think of what we read this morning in the 105th Psalm, where we are told, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Then it says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works. What's the Lord doing here? He's saying, listen, when you go back to what I have done, when it fills your heart and mind that I have done great things for the people of God under all the kinds of circumstances that God's people face today, that will encourage you to pray. When that has filled your heart, then go and pray and call upon God for His strength. This is what Isaiah the prophet certainly did. In the 51st chapter of that prophecy, in verse 9, there is the prayer, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Is that not a good prayer for today? Why is it that God's church is so weak in prayer today? Is it just coincidental that this weakness in prayer comes at a time when, A, there is a great weakness in theology in the churches, where the people are not taught about the greatness of their God? They've been given some touchy-feely, mushy, man-made, look-alike of Bible religion. That will never make you pray. All the little rock music ditties in the world will never make you pray and never give you confidence in your praying. But getting a vision of the greatness of your God, that will give you confidence in praying. Is it just coincidence then that our weakness in the church today in praying comes hand in hand with the weakness of theology? Is it just coincidence that that weakness in prayer comes at a time when there is an abysmal ignorance of the biblical and post-biblical history of God's dealings with His church? You go into churches today and ask the normal church member just downright simple things about the history of God's dealings in the Old Testament, and they don't know a thing about it. They just don't know about it. And if they know a few names, they have not got the details of God's mighty acts into their heart and into their head. And when you get beyond the Bible, when you start talking about the great deeds of God in the history of the church, people look at you like you're mad. What has that got to do with us? One of the first things I did 19 years ago when I came here was to start the October meetings for Reformation Month. And for 19 years have tried to incorporate the great events of Reformation history with the Word of God. Not just because I love Reformation history. Not just because I'm happy to be a Bible-believing Protestant. But because I believe with all my heart that God says, remember what I've done. And when you remember what I have done, then you will pray with confidence. When you see what God has done in the past, you will pray with Isaiah in chapter 64. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. What you did in the past, Lord, do it again today.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.